under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my father. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my feet of God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second hour on this Friday, October 6, 2023 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. We're adding in Pastor Chatfield right now as we speak into the show to get him to talk about the history of the Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C. Good morning, sir. Welcome on into the show.
Good morning. Yes, I'm putting in a plug for one of your advertisers, Royal Tire. They're fixing my car. I'm taking a trip next week, so I had to find a secluded place with a good signal.
There you go. You got it. You sound great, man. You sound absolutely perfect. And I sent you that video, and I also sent you the Epoch Times story.
Yes.
That President Trump endorsed Jim Jordan early this morning. Yes. Didn't want to really do it. He said, you know, if I have to do it temporarily until they get their vote together, their act together. But before we get into the history part of it, I want to talk about current events. Every single Republican congressman, Bergman, Molinar, Huizenga, Wahlberg, McClain, they all voted to retain McCarthy. And it was only because of Matt Gaetz and seven other Republicans that joined the Democrats was McCarthy removed just 3 days ago on October 3rd. The political strategy going back and forth, even Jordan himself from Ohio, who Trump just endorsed this morning, voted to keep McCarthy. Was that basically to try to just show respect and perhaps political payback for the money that McCarthy spread, showered $500 million all over the Republican caucus to get that vote, to get the speakership. Just get your perspective on what happened 3 days ago.
There are a lot of different angles on this. First of all, I'm not a fan of Matt Gaetz. Just not.
Yep.
I'm not a fan. Okay. But he, you know, I heard the speech you sent me. You know, we're doing this for the American people. And this is, we got to basically, you know, Kevin McCarthy's subject to the lobbyist and the money. And I'm going to collect money by 10s and 20s and 30s and so on and so forth. Listen, everybody, it is silly to think that you're going to get money out of politics. It just, you know, the Bible says, Proverbs 22:7, the rich ruleth over the poor. Money is it's what drives politics. It has been, is, will always be, which drives the world. That is, a man's gift maketh room for him. Money is the deal. Has been, is, has always been. Then you have people coming up and saying, oh, let's just get money out of politics. And where it doesn't work like that. Go to the TV station and plead with them to buy commercials without money. You got to have money. And that's just the nature of the political machine. And Kevin McCarthy did raise lots of money, and he did distribute it to the Republicans so they could win the majority back. President Trump realized that. President Trump, before he was in politics, he used to give money to both Democrats and Republicans. That's what he did, because money makes room for you. The Bible says it makes a place for you. Let's quit trying to say, well, we're going to get money out of politics. That's demagoguery. He knows better. I would think he knows better. And so don't forget this either. That's always been politics, policy, and personalities.
Sure.
Yeah, it's always been. I mean, we could talk about, President Andrew Jackson and his feud with Clay and his feud with the National Bank. These things, yeah, they're political differences and policy difference, but then there comes personal things.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about that because the history of it is critical and relevant to what's going on in Washington this next week. So, very good. Short break with Pastor Jeff Field. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. Order online for takeout at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against Whipper, Nestle, and the Health Department by subscribing to our podcast at murphyslawdcast.com.
The Well Connect End of the Year Blowout Sale is here. A factory direct do-it-yourself install package is now available to our listeners. Call 231-420-8320 to find out how you can buy a Well Connect geothermal unit at a DIY discounted price. Install it yourself and qualify for a 30% federal income tax credit off your 2023 taxes. Additionally, you'll receive a cash rebate from your local electric co-op company. A Well Connect uses your well water to do 80% to 90% of heating your home this winter, 100% air conditioning your home next summer, just by calling 231-420-8320. Again, save money, get a 30% federal income tax credit before the end of this year, and start saving money every month while enjoying total year-round comfort. Again, call 231-420-8320. Do it today.
You've never seen the internet like this before. Blazing fast connection, symmetrical upload and download speeds, unlimited access, affordable rates, and no contracts. Delivered by your trusted local cooperative, Presque Electric and Gas Co-op. PIEG Connect will transform the way you live, work, and play in rural Michigan. There's fast internet, and then there's PIEG Connect. Show your interest at PIEGConnect.com.
Welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Let's get right into the history of the Speaker of the House of Representatives. What does history teach us?
Okay, let me give you Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 7 of the United States Constitution. Here's what it says. The House of Representatives shall choose their Speaker and other officers and shall have the sole power of impeachment. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. But we could. I read the whole paragraph because it's a short paragraph. The House of Representatives shall choose their Speaker and other officers. There's no definition for this. I did the best I could to look up Well, what did Madison think of this? What was spoken about this in the Federalist Papers? I couldn't find anything. I could not find anything. The closest thing that I came to this was the, a person wrote in their notes, and he wasn't who was a delegate. He said, "The House of Representatives is not as a Senate to have a president chosen for them from without their body, but are to elect their speaker from their own number." That's the only thing I could find, and that was from a guy that you probably have never heard of, because truthfully, I didn't know of him. Delegate Trench Coax, he wrote this in the Congress of the Confederation, not even the Constitutional Convention, talking about a speaker that he
right.
thought that he had to come from the Congress itself, from the House of Representatives. I can't find anything that Madison wrote or George Washington or Hamilton. Now, so if you can find me something that they thought, what were exact roles of the Speaker of the House, and have at it. I couldn't find anything.
I started digging on this the last time this thing happened, and it's not clear. It doesn't spell it out anywhere. And really, I've even had some political pundits say that, you know, you or I could be Speaker of the House.
Sure.
I mean, it could be a private citizen from anywhere. It doesn't even have to be an elected official.
Okay. Now, that's true according to the Constitution. It simply doesn't tell us the House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other officers.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. It's like the Sergeant at Arms. He doesn't belong to the Congress. He says, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, he's supposed to keep order.
Right.
He's not a congressman. He wasn't elected. He's not part of the legislative branch. However, I would say this, read some historian says this, Diana Schaub, and this kind of makes sense to me. Legislative powers cannot be lodged in the hands of a non-legislative person. To do so would violate the fundamental purpose of Article 1 of the Constitution. I think that makes sense. In other words, Article 1, Section 1 of our Constitution says all legislative powers shall be vested in a Congress. That's the first sentence in our Constitution after the preamble. Okay, it's... Now, if you're not a congressman, if you've not been elected, how can you have a legislative power? Now, the speaker, he just presides over the House of Representatives. Now, what Pastor Chatfield, what does that mean, he presides? Well, the fact of the matter is that's a matter of opinion. Exactly. What does it mean to preside over the House of Representatives? That means he runs the House.
Yeah, he basically has the gavel and has the ability to just run it, but doesn't even have a vote. Only elected congressman gets the vote. I studied that part of it.
Right.
If an outsider speaker was voted on, elected, they don't have a vote. They just run basically the chamber.
Which is where the real power is. You understand that? When they mean run the chamber, Nancy Pelosi ran the place. So be it. Like it or not, like her
sure.
or not, she
yep.
ran. She ran it. And you didn't cross the speaker. I've heard stories, which I will not repeat. But different speakers, even in Michigan, did things. Man, you better follow the speaker. I mean, and I can tell you this, in Michigan, what the speaker can't do, speaker can't stop any person from voting. But he can fire all his staff. Take his desk out of the House of Representatives. He can make the guy sit on the floor if he wants and sit
mm-hmm.
there.
Right.
He can do. I mean, he's in charge of he's in charge. He presides now. Exactly. Now that the political ramifications of trying to do something like that, the press would crucify you. But it's difficult. Now here's the story. Here in Great Britain, in the House of Commons, the Speaker is just ceremonial. Basically, I mean, what I mean by not just ceremonial, but he's impartial, ceremonial. He functions to kind of keep order. He doesn't really actively take a political role. But what the speakers that we remember in our history are those that took active party politics to what they wanted to do. They're the ones that really ran the place, and they controlled it, and they had an agenda. Democrat Sam Rayburn, he'd spent the most time in as the Speaker of the House. Let's see, it was like almost 20 years he spent as speaker, and he shepherded bills and pulled strings and did what he did to he was a Democrat to forward what he wanted to forward. He wanted to move it forward. He'd bring it forward. He didn't. Now, other speakers were not as powerful, maybe because they didn't have the majorities, or maybe they just they didn't see that as their role. There in our history, we've had 55 different speakers of the House, 55 different people. Some of them, like Nancy Pelosi, was in, then out, then back in, then back out. So who knows? Who knows exactly what's going to happen? And there's others that, depending on the party in power, here's how it's worked. If you're to become Speaker of the House of Representatives, this is true on a state level and on a national level. The party in power caucuses, and they say, okay, who do we want to be our Speaker? And you have your votes, and you decide who's going to be Speaker. And now the campaigning is done long before they caucus after the election. It's done long before. I mean, people that are running for Speaker, what you do is you go to the people in your party and say, hey, if we retain power or if we maintain majority, would you be on my side for Speaker? And you start making deals, you start talking to people so that when the election comes, it's already pretty sure you know who the next Speaker is. And that's the way it's worked. And so the Speakers that have had the most influence are those that have their connections and they've got their commitments already from people who are going to vote for them to be Speaker. Now, by the way, there's some give and take here. What I mean by that, okay, they're prospective Mr. Speaker. What do I get? Well, I'll give you can be chairman of such and such a committee, or you can be this chairman of that committee. And by the way, if you are a congressman or a legislator on the state level, we'd call it state representatives, and you choose the wrong side, hey, you might not get anything. You won't get a chairmanship on a board. And so there's a lot of give and taking there. And once you see that your side is, your guy is going to lose, everybody jumps from that guy and jumps on the bandwagon with the other guy so that when the election comes and the majority is chosen, you're buddy-buddy with the Speaker. I was for you all along there, brother so-and-so.
Right.
That is the nature of things on the state level and on the federal level. And what has happened here, Matt Gaetz, I think, he and Kevin McCarthy didn't get along.
At all.
They're not good friends. And so how much of this is his political maneuvering? How much of this is just personal animosity? How much of this is the policies? You know, in a word, I don't know for sure. But rest assured, everybody, Andrew Jackson and Henry Clay did not like each other. Okay? Andrew Jackson was the president. Henry Clay was the Speaker of the House, and they didn't get along. Clay formed a party, the Whig Party, just to oppose Andrew Jackson.
Right.
He didn't like him, and he didn't like his policies too. But it was both, and so there's a lot of moving parts in this thing.
Well, now, let me hold that thought for 1 second, because as I'm listening, let's back the bus up a little bit, because there is a thing called chain of succession. Of course, you have the president, vice president, and then Speaker of the House, and there was this conspiracy plot theory out there that people sent to me earlier in the week where, you know, they were going to put up Donald Trump and then they were going to impeach Biden, and they felt that they had the ability to get it done in the Senate because they don't want Biden to run. The Democrats don't want Biden to run for reelection. So then that would make Kamala Harris president. And then the Republicans were going to impeach Kamala Harris, and because they didn't want Kamala Harris to be the candidate either, the Democrats would convict in the Senate, so they would open up the race for their Democratic nomination. Michelle Obama, others, Gretchen Whitmer, Gavin Newsom, they're all standing in the wings, chomping at the bit for Biden and Harris to go away, that actually Donald Trump would be, as Speaker of the House, then acting president heading into the election next year. And I'm like, you guys, do you know what would have to happen in order for that to occur? I mean, yeah. you're talking about impossibilities, but this is what exactly. their theory was.
Yeah, listen, everybody, the Earth is not flat. Please, the Earth is not. At some point, you get off of all these conspiracy ideas. So, well, this could be, that could be. I don't believe any of that. I don't believe the Democrats would do that. It makes everybody look bad beyond the fact. Listen, I am a believer in. I'm a conservative. I am a believer in stability. And Matt Gaetz said this. Hey, we need to blow this place up. And in essence, he was saying we need to bring instability to the place.
Right.
Listen, I'm not for that. I'm for winning elections. I'm for President Trump. And President Trump's smart. He's behind Jim Jordan. Hey, I'm behind, yep. If anybody cares, I'm behind Jim Jordan for Speaker. Okay.
Well, no. But there's more to that. Because Steve Scalise, you remember the guy who survived the shooting?
Yes, I know. He's a good guy, too.
A majority whip. Well, here's the thing. Jordan doesn't want to be Speaker. That's why he voted for McCarthy. That's why
he's declared. Hasn't he declared?
He did declare. He did declare because he considered the House with this upcoming budget bill that needs to be passed or the government's going to get shut down. He said flat out, I don't want to do this, but I have to do it because we got to get this resolved, whether we cut the spending and pass a new budget or whether we're forced to go with what McCarthy was leaning toward. He got the deal done. Supposedly it was a done deal for them to do another continuing resolution, another CR. And you have talked about this in the past. You said that we can't stay on this economic track that we're on. We've got to cut the spending. We got to figure out a way to reduce our spending at the federal level, or this could end up in an economic crisis. And that's what McCarthy was trying to avoid. Well, that ticked off the House Freedom Caucus. That ticked off Gaetz. That ticked off a lot of people. So that Jordan threw his head in saying, we got to do something in order to make sure we can get this budget deal passed. I believe that was his whole basis for announcing he was running for it.
Has he responded to President Trump since?
No.
Okay. The
endorsement just came out. And they're out of session now for the weekend. They're going back to caucus on Tuesday. The vote's going to be on Wednesday the 11th, this upcoming Wednesday.
All I'm saying is let's get a speaker. Let's get behind the speaker and move forward. Let's get whether it's Scalise or whether it's Jordan, somebody. I only saying let's stay together. That's how things work in politics. These six people that voted against McCarthy are now
eight of them total. Yeah,
they voted against. I'm not gonna necessarily question all their motives, but maybe their motives are pure, and maybe they're good Christian people. I don't know. I do not know. But I don't think that what they're doing is helpful. This is the average person looking at this that doesn't listen to Randy and Rusty and doesn't watch, Newsmax. They don't know. It just looks chaotic to them.
Right.
This is not good politically. This is a bad look for the Republicans.
They're doing it in a non-election year. They're doing it as a result of this budget deal. And I think what we're going to ultimately see, it'll be resolved. I believe it might even be resolved in the very first round of voting. I do not think it's going to go to 15 rounds like it did with McCarthy last time. And I think Trump endorsement is going to play very heavy into it. We'll continue with Pastor Chatfield discussion, Speaker of the House, the history behind it, current events. We'll be right back. Michigan.